It's November, which is the beginning of the holiday season. Now, while the holidays are a time of joy, the pain of the hard times in life does not go away during these times of celebration. When that pain involves our kids, what are we to do? Well, Marilee Bradley from Lincoln is a mom of six, and she has navigated a number of hard experiences with her children. So we're looking forward to connecting with Marilee about what she has learned along the way. Marilee, welcome back to the conversation.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
So this whole month of November, we're taking some time and we're just kind of processing through suffering. Some might go, well, why are you doing that? Well, because it's part of the reality of life, number one. And number two, as we head into the holidays, yes, it's a time for joy and celebration, but also, you know what? Sometimes that culture and climate of joy and celebration for those who are going through suffering makes the suffering that much more difficult, because the place that we're at is in such a contrast to what's going on around us that it just kind of amplifies it in some way. So we just felt like this month we wanted to do that. And specifically with you, we wanted to do it with talking about suffering with our kids. And how do we walk with, work with our kids in the midst of them suffering or us suffering as a family, them observing suffering? So just to dive right in, as you kind of think about that, we as parents and the roles that we play with our kids, how important is it that we be intentional about helping our kids process through suffering?
I think it's beautifully biblical to see suffering, to note suffering, and in some way to embrace suffering. And I think it's so countercultural. I think we live in a world that wants to downplay that, that wants to find the silver lining in every situation. And while I think it's important to teach our kids gratitude, I think being able to model for them suffering well and to help them learn that suffering is a part of life, I think prepares them lifelong to deal with just the reality that we live in a fallen, broken world.
Try that we might to protect our kids from suffering. We're not going to be able to. If we don't take that initiative to help them process through the suffering, what risk is there?
The biggest risk is that our kids will say, God can't be good because this life is so hard. And I think we all instinctively know what a struggle that is to understand the goodness of God in the context of our actual messy, broken lives. And I think when we start young with our kids to model that God can be good and life can be hard, that both of those things can be true at the same time, we just help them create a full picture of what life in Christ looks like, that it doesn't just look like fun, easy, exciting all the time, but it encompasses our sorrow and that there's room for sorrow and comfort in our sorrow.
Marilee, as we're talking about helping our kids process through suffering and through challenges and difficulties in life, many of us adults don't know how to process pain. Is that beyond a kid's ability to process well? Because we struggle with it as adults. So is there hope that we can help our kids come to a good, healthy place in terms of pain and suffering?
Quite frankly, I think our kids are better at it than we are.
Interesting.
I think they're much more honest about their pain. They haven't learned to shove that down or hide it or cope in unhealthy ways yet. So I think we get to learn from them. We can either give them the message that all suffering is bad and we're supposed to either ignore it or deny it or learn to cope in unhealthy ways, or we can embrace the hard things. We can sit in our grief. We can give voice to our feelings, and we can help our kids do that. But I think they naturally will do those things. They naturally will tell us how sad they are, how hard things are. And it's really up to us to hear that and to have empathy for that. And I think that will give them the tools they need to continue to do that lifelong rather than to develop unhealthy patterns.
I think if we're not careful as adults, we kind of superimpose on our kids a wrongly developed processing of pain. We look at our kids and we're thinking, they're thinking this, thinking that, they're going to react that way, react this way. Well, no, they just are right now initially. Like when they're kids and they experience pain and suffering, they just are. They're going to need some help in, like you said, not beginning to go some of those predictable places we can go without healthy processes. There's some predictable places that they will probably start to head, but we can head those things off.
Right. And I think their suffering makes us so uncomfortable because of how raw it is and how honest it is and how that makes it difficult for us because we have to face really hard questions because they haven't been taught yet that they're not allowed to ask those questions. They haven't learned yet that they're supposed to hide all of their suffering to make other people feel better. They're just going to do it right in front of us. And so we have to learn how to respond to that in honest ways, in authentic ways, in ways that honor what is hard and difficult about life.
Marilee, I'm picturing a family that's going through something super hard. Their family is in the midst of a storm. And you've got this child that ideally needs to be helped processing through what's going on. But I, as the adult in the situation, I'm not handling things well. I'm handling it very poorly myself. So how do I, as a parent who's struggling myself, be in a position to also help my child?
I think it's okay for our kids to see us grieve. I think it's okay for them to see us struggle sometimes, for us to be honest about how things are hard for our family. And I say that as somebody who went through miscarriages with children in my life and in my home, and our kids knew that that was a hard time for us. I think that can be healthy for them to see grief. I think if you are not handling it in a healthy way, it's also good for you to give your kids healthy people that you trust that they can go to, that they can talk with your blessing about what's going on in their lives and how they're feeling about it, and for you to have an honest conversation with that other person ahead of time about, I know this kid needs maybe more help than I can give them right now. Can you be a safe person for them to talk to? So whether that's grandparents or that's a family friend or that's your pastor or youth pastor, someone that they already have a trusting relationship with that they know I can go and this is a safe place for me to say the things that maybe I'm struggling to say to my parents because I don't want to add to their grief.
So if I, as a parent, I'm going, I don't have the resources in me because I'm in the midst of the struggle also. I don't have the resources in me to help my child, but and I know my child needs help. As a parent, I need to make sure that my child gets help from somebody else and give the freedom to do that. But then also, as I hear that, it seems like part of that also is modeling getting of help. If I am in that place, I get it from my child, but then I also get it from me. So how much even more that normalizes the getting of help from my child.
Absolutely. Amen. And talking about that in front of your kids, to be able to say, I spoke with our pastor about this hard time. I spoke with my friend about this struggle I'm going through and how helpful that was and healing that was, and getting a counselor involved when you need to. I think those are all such good, healthy things that we need to be doing as adults and modeling that for our kids.
Marilee, I'm curious what your perspective would be on, is there a degree to which ignorance can be bliss? And the best thing that I can do is to keep the reality of pain as completely away out of the awareness of my child as possible. I mean, all of us as parents would love to be able to do that, right? We're going to walk our child through pain and suffering by not ever letting them get touched by it. I mean, obviously that's impractical. We can't do that completely, but is there a degree to which sometimes that can be a right thing?
I think we don't want to put adult problems on children with adult language, give them things that they are not equipped to carry. So I think about like financial struggles. My kids don't need to necessarily know every bill that we're struggling to pay or what that might look like for us. But I think there are age-appropriate ways to let our kids in on the things that may be going on that are hard, or letting them know we need to pray for this family member who is really struggling without giving them all of the details that they may not be capable of carrying. I know for myself personally, I err on the side of honesty with my kids, and I think it's good for them to know that there are hard times and that we can still be people of joy during hard times. I'm not trying to create a false sense that the world is perfect all the time or easy all the time. I want them to understand we can get through suffering, but I think it requires a ton of discernment to know how to do that in a way that's healthy for your kids, that won't give them anxiety or make them carry things they really are not equipped to carry at the age they're at. And I think it requires a level of prayer and self-reflection to ask yourself, why am I telling my kids this? Am I telling my kids this because I don't have friends I can process this with, because I'm just so overwhelmed with the emotion of it and I'm not dealing with that well and so it's spilling out everywhere? Then I think we have to reevaluate. But if we're telling our kids in a way that is calm and age-appropriate and honest, I think that can be a good thing when it's for their good. It's for their development spiritually or emotionally, but it can't be about us. us.
Marilee, there isn't always an answer to suffering, at least nothing that's nice and neat and clean and pretty. It can just be messy. I'm confident that in heaven, it will be clear one day, but the Bible says that now we see in a mirror dimly. We can't see it all now. So what do we do with the messiness in helping our kids process pain and suffering and loss?
Just as you said, we point them to an eternal perspective. It's okay for us to say, we don't understand. It's okay for us to say, this doesn't make sense right now. We don't have to try and make it all make sense to our kids, even though we'd like to. Allowing them to sit in grief and suffering is okay. It's about acknowledging the limits of our own understanding and our own knowledge, but that we trust a good and loving God to make good out of this. Part of that is helping kids look back at your own family story, finding those Ebenezer moments for your family where you've seen God do the good thing, where you've seen God answer prayer in ways that are really obvious, and being able to point back to that, to say, we know we saw these things happen. We know God is for us. We know that He wants our good, even though we don't understand it. Here are some times where we can see, where it has made sense in some way, to help our kids develop that faith and trust that God is good, even in the times when we can't see it and we don't understand.
So Marilee, I'm curious. I mean, you have a lot of kids, right? So you have a lot of opportunities to put things into practice. What are some of the things that you've learned through walking with your own kids through a storm in their lives?
Each kid is going to process it uniquely. For some of my kids, they have a high capacity for feelings and a high capacity for grief, much beyond what I have just personality-wise. And it's been so good for me to learn that it's okay for them to have their grief. I don't have to fix it. I don't have to try and make that go away. And I think as an adult, that's my heart, is to want to fix it for them, is to want to make this easier for them, is to want to tell them all the good things, but instead to realize some kids, just personality-wise, are going to experience that more deeply, and that's okay. That's a good thing about how God made them, and they're going to be great as parents, as friends, as empathetic listeners to other people because God gave them that high capacity for feelings. So I think in working with my kids through their own grief, just allowing them to feel what they need to feel, being a good listener and not trying to impart my adult perspective all the time, but allowing them to have their own experience of it has been really important.
As you're sharing that, I was thinking back to earlier in our conversation this morning, how we talked about if a parent, because they're struggling with the pain themselves, may not be in a position to help their child. This is another time where potentially you may not be overly struggling yourself and you might have your feet underneath you, but you might be wired so differently than your kid that there may be someone else in your lives that might be in a better position out of their wiring to help your child walk through some pain.
Yes. I somehow am raising a child who is not biologically related to me, but she somehow is exactly like my mother. I do not know how God worked that out, but I am so thankful that I have these people in my life who can come and speak into her world with a level of understanding for her personality and her gifts and have that kind of awareness of what might be harder for her than I just have blind spots because I'm not wired that way. That's why I think we have the body of Christ. Because we do have different gifts. We do have different ways we're naturally wired, and our kids need that. We have to connect them to that body too.
Marilee, as it pertains to helping our kids walk through pain, suffering, loss, are there any preemptive truths about God and life that you have intentionally and you are intentionally seeking to plant in the hearts of your kids to prepare them for when, not if, the hard times come in their lives?
I really feel like gratitude is a big deal. And helping them have a posture of gratitude, a posture that sees the beauty of the world that exists just naturally, and to see the beauty of the world that exists in the specific ways God has given them good gifts. I think that helps their hearts in just starting to see the world for the beauty that's in it, for the positive that's in it, so that when the hard times come, they understand that the character of God is good. And I think allowing them to see, even through suffering, when we look backwards, not just leaving suffering behind and ignoring it, but looking back and seeing the good things that have come out of times of suffering and being able to speak about that ourselves, or speak about that from the Bible, or speak about that from history, to see how God has made good out of hard things. I think that helps when we experience our personal times of suffering, to be able to have that posture of gratitude in the midst of it, and to be able to see how we trust God to be a God of redemption who makes good out of hard things.
Merrily, you made a comment about the ability to see God, his love and his grace and his provision and his protection, and hold that in tension with the challenge, the stress, the strain, the pain, the storms that come into our lives. And how do those two things come together? It's the classic, how can a loving God allow this into my life? How have you processed that?
I know for me, it has been so healing and beautiful to look back and see how I prayed so hard when we were going through a season of infertility and pregnancy loss. I prayed so hard against that would not happen to me. And God walked me through that anyway. And he was present. He was close to me. He grew me close to him during that time. And now I look at my family and how God had it planned out. And I say, it is good. I did not know how good God's plan was going to be for my life. And I'm so thankful that he didn't listen to my plan, but that he gave me this even better plan. And so I can speak that to my kids. I can speak that to my friends, that I have seen the goodness of God. And I'm very thankful for that, even though we won't always see that. We won't always understand that till heaven. But I think I can look back and see that the character of God was good, even through the absolute hardest, darkest times where I could not imagine how God was going to make good out of it, that he was present during all of that. And that's what I want my kids to understand, is that sometimes it takes that perspective of getting through it to be able to look back on it and see the goodness of God.
Merrily, as we're talking again, we wanted to talk about pain and suffering this month because we know the reality of, as we go into the holiday seasons, there are people who are emotionally, circumstantially in a very different place than the festivities that we're all about to undertake. There are people listening this morning that are in that situation. They've hit a hard in life. Would you be willing to, as we close our time this morning, just pray over them?
God, we know that this time can be a time of beauty and joy as we're with family, or as we're being thankful for your gifts and your ultimately your good gift in sending your son. We know this also can be such a time of pain and grief as we recognize the brokenness of this world, families that don't look the way that we hoped that they would, and situations that aren't what we prayed for. God, I just ask for comfort for those who are struggling in whatever way that looks like right now, that you would be so very present, that you would be so very loving and gentle and kind to those who are feeling broken at this point, and that you would give them wisdom about how they can be grateful in the midst of hard times, how they can find rest in the midst of hard times, that they would just see you and know you better through your word and through the body of Christ coming around them and honoring their grief, whatever that looks like, making space for their grief. God, that you would give those of us who are around the hurting, that you would give us wisdom, that we would love them well, not in ways that add to their pain, but that lighten their burden. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.